Welcome to the MegaCast.
Just hot. It is so hot in this room. I don't know how we're going to get through this podcast. Holy shit.
It is stinking. Welcome to Mackay, man. Welcome back to Mackay.
That's all. I know, man. I smell like a big sweaty moose. All right. Welcome to episode 66 of the MegaCast. I think it's 66. Is that right?
No, 66 plus one. If you pay for the microtransaction,
yeah, so you get even paid for the expansion.
Well, I've called it episode 66 because I had this really beautiful tagline. I was like, we're a tenth of the way to the episode of the beast, but I missed that one, so I'm not too sure how we're going to.
Yeah, we did that. It was the best episode come back from that. Done too. So.
I'm sure. Anyway, I have with me tonight Josh and Wilco, as you can probably hear. Joey's still out and about. He's tripping up to Cairns.
Fucking holiday, the bastard. I'm so jealous. Yeah.
I'm not, mate. It's fucking hot enough in Mackay. Yeah, fuck Cairns.
The heat up there would be horrible.
But the thing with Cairns is all you need to do is you'll get alcohol in your hand wherever you go, and you've got a pool that you can sit in about wherever you can go anyway.
So, yeah, that's because it's a pool of your own sweat.
Yeah, well.
Like, you just sit down and be like, oh, look, now I'm bathing in my own filth. Rad. Yeah. No thanks. No thank you. You can keep that shit. Anyway. What have we been up to for the past week or 2 weeks? Because I've been a bit iffy. I've been whiffy-foofy lately because I've been out and about and trying to settle down in a new place, and there's been lots going on in my life. So, Wilco, what have you been up to for the past couple of weeks, man?
Well, I've been trying to get Gil McLean on the podcast tonight, which we almost had him half an hour before. It turned out that he had to basically make a game, so unfortunately that's what
for those that don't know, Gil McLean was at PAX, and he was showing off his game Odd Gods, which was a very faithful sort of RPG, and it looked good.
Mm-hmm.
It looked really good.
He has promised to come on the podcast early in the new year to talk about it, but he has some massive industry background too. Like, he's worked with some really big devs in the past. The current company he's working for is In Between Worlds, so we miss you, Gil. We really do. And he's got a beautiful accent. I love talking to that man. But yeah, he'll be on in the new year. We'll get him on and have a bit of a chat about his game. But other than that, I recorded.
I love Gil, but I hate him already, by the way.
Yeah, good.
just because Gil was like a boss in a Street Fighter game, and he was like the most fucked boss that has ever existed in any fighting game ever. And it used to make me so fucking mad. But
what are fighting games? I've never heard of them. Sorry.
Oh, all right.
Sure. I was playing a bullet hell game. You'll be so proud of me. Was it
Bullet Witch?
Witch Thief, yes.
Witch Thief, fuck, I keep calling it Bullet Witch. That's a different game. I did that to his face a couple of times at PAX, and he was like, nah, Witch Thief. I was like, shit.
Yeah, so the him we're talking about there is Tim. We had Tim on the podcast, Super Hype Train, last night from Cardboard Keep. So we're getting all these devs around, which is really good. And I streamed probably about 45 minutes of their demo after the podcast as well. Got up to the last boss so many times and died, so I've just got to get
it's
that.
It's a fun game, hey?
I am horrible at that game. Like, it's
pretty game too. And what I didn't realise, like, I didn't even ask him, but the music in it is amazing. So, it is. It's brilliant. So, I'm going to do a video on that fairly soon. I'm going to play through the demo and do a bit of a commentary and put that up alongside after we do the podcast. The podcast should be up tonight.
Cool.
But, yeah, it looks really good and really enjoying that. I've been on the hunt for a PlayStation TV box because they're discontinued for like 2 years and you can't get them anywhere. And I want
to get I was keen on one of those because it's kind of like Steam Link, but for your PlayStation. Yes, it means you don't have to buy an extra PlayStation for your house.
Yeah, so that's what I'm trying to do.
I was keen on those.
I've got one off Amazon America I can get, but I've just got to justify the price at the moment. They're $59 American, which isn't too bad. And I can get a friend to get it over there and then meet up with my partner when she goes on holidays. So the postage will be free, but it'll be like till March. I can't get it. So I sort of had it because I got my Steam Link working on the weekend as well. Again, like I sort of haven't used it. So I'm like, wonder if I can get my Steam Link to open up my remote play on my PC for my PS4 and then play it through my Steam Link, and it was so close. Like, I had the game running, but the control wasn't.
Oh man, that would have been horrid. That would have been the worst experience.
How good would the lag on the lag would have been? But I really do want to get a PlayStation TV, so I will hunt one down and get one before the next couple of months, which is good.
In the words of Cairns-bound Joey, I'd rather fucking rip my dick off and throw it in the river.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
But yeah, the Steam Link, I've been playing Assassin's Creed on the big screen out in the lounge room, which is a lot better than playing it in this hot box I've got at the moment. So really enjoying Assassin's Creed, actually.
So you're liking it?
Yeah, I'm only like 5% through the game, level five. Haven't left the main town, but I'm just walking around trying to find treasure and killing animals and all kinds of things that I do in things like Far Cry and Witcher and all those kind of type of games, which it very much feels like. So not really following the story as yet, but yeah, really enjoying the beauty of the world and the mechanics of just running around in it. So yeah, a bit more than I expected to like it anyway. But
That's good.
Game. Do you want to talk about it now, Perko? Because I know you've been playing it as well, or do you want to leave it to your little segment?
Oh, no. Well, look, we'll get into it now. We may as well, because then we can tweet it to him and he doesn't have to listen for too long to hear us talk about his game. Is Epic Tavern. Yeah. I know you've been playing Epic Tavern, because so have I.
Yeah, I streamed it on Friday night, in fact, so had a little blast. I didn't know what to expect going into it.
Neither did I.
The concept of the game, it's the... Who's making it, Josh? What's the indies, the devs' name?
Yeah, throw me right in it, why don't you? Yeah, I'll get that for you. About it, yeah, so. I know I might tell you about it.
But... While we're doing that. Look, the basic idea is you get a tavern and you have to look after the tavern, so it's like a sim tavern game, but then you go out on quests and it's a full... just straight up D&D
style game,
so it gives you full story as you go along. You roll the dice, you literally roll, you've got to pick your characters for each adventure, and you can do multiple adventures at once, but you pick them on whether there's four different skill sets that they can be good at.
Yep.
And
so during the quest, you'll notice that a quest might have like you need good mind power or like good communication or something like that. So you end up picking people in your team that have good communication, and then your chance. So let's say that the quest requires 10 communication.
Yep.
Right. You have four people in your team that have 5 communication each. That means that you will have 20 communication going into that, which means that you have like a 95 or 99% chance of succeeding because you've blasted past the 10 needed communication points to succeed that quest. However, in saying that, once you get into the quests, you're moving around
fashion
and stuff,
everything happens.
it'll bring up dice rolls and you'll be like, okay, X happened. Like, let's say your party walks past a pub and some drunkards ramble out and try to start a fight. And then it says roll. And you'll see like a percentage chance. And sometimes, you know, depending on what you need, sometimes it ranges from between 1% and, you know, 95% chance. And I have lost a couple of 95% rolls. And
I've won a couple of 5% rolls too.
So it's pretty interesting. And, you know, you guys can get injured during the quest and then they're useless in the next quest.
Drunk.
They can die. It's pretty crazy.
I haven't died yet, but I've had a few come back drunk.
Yes, you have. Yes, you surely have. I know you have, for a fact.
No, they were just injured. I got the infirmary up the other day, and No, I've got all the ones I started with.
Yeah, no, you don't.
While you guys were arguing, the team behind it is Hyperkinetic. They're a Hyperkinetic. LA,
yeah.
California team. So this is kind of their first. It's their original IP. It's their first original IP that they've worked on as a team. They've done a couple of other things for other companies, like probably pronounce it wrong, Mattel from Hot Wheels. They did the track builder for that and a couple of other things as
Mattel.
Well.
So,
Mattel.
How do you mispronounce that? But anyway, even in the tavern, the tavern part of it, like you have random people wandering to your bar. And then you've got to actually approach them and talk to them. And there's some funny shit that these guys come up with. I sat there. I'm like, because Josh Butters was watching my stream. I'm like, dude, stop whatever you're doing. Go read this comment from this guy on the stream. And it was just some hilarious shit they're coming up with. But then you've also got to buy food. You've got to manage your storage with your food, so your supplies. So you buy in, was it stale bread, barbecued rat?
That's what you start off with.
Orphanage stew. Yeah, and then obviously you get more stuff. But you actually supply your tavern with that. Then you got to buy your alcohol, which is something like fairy water, fairy glitter water or something like that.
Yep. House wine.
Mead and stuff like that. House wine. And then the people will say what they want. And if you got it, you sell it to them and you can rent out rooms to them, and then obviously you build your tavern up, adding extensions on. Like I said, I got the infirmary before as well.
Yeah, so the furniture as well. So the happier you keep your clients, the more reputation you get. The more reputation they get, the more clients come through the door. And the most important part about that is the more clients that come through the door, the more people you can equip in your party. So as you level your tavern up, you will get extra slots in your party, and then you need clients to come through to, you know, well, enlist them in your little questing adventuring.
And you do actually get your quests from talking to people in the bar. So they'll come in and say, oh, look, I heard about this happening here. And then all of a sudden that feeds into a quest that pops into your menu.
I heard
as
a bloke
well,
called Wilco's out there flashing everyone. You go, well, let's go fuck him up. Let's go.
And it's all based around, it's AP is the currency, but it's based on time. So each thing will cost you, let's say, two ability points, not ability points, but whatever the currency is. So you've got like 50 in the day. So you've got to manage whether you supply that guy with beer to get the money from the markup. You can even mark up your mead like 100% if you want to.
Then you get no reputation. No one comes to your fucking pub because you're too expensive.
That's it.
You're cheap
so if
bastards.
You've got a fairly full bar, you've really got to manage who, like, are you talking to the new person who comes in to try and keep them in the tavern, or are you supplying the regulars or the people you even work with you with supplies or food or whatever like that?
To be fair,
towards the end of the day, it gets a little bit hectic.
Have you found that an issue yet? Because I'm pretty far in. I've got the infirmary. I've upgraded a few times. I think I'm like level 7 or 8 now as well. Mm-hmm. So I've got a few, you know, I've got quite a big party. I'm still not having an issue with that.
Aren't you?
Nah, not
I'm a couple of times I've got to the end, I've had to decide which, I've had one or two people left.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And there's a couple of times where I've had no one and I've just basically ended the day by doing a quest. But yeah, I've had it, not major issues, but I can see it becoming something down the track. But nowhere near as far as what you are.
I'm enjoying the hell out of it, but it's a really relaxing game. I get the same kind of feeling that, like, I like playing like Civ games and stuff because they're just point and click. You can kind of take your time with them if you want. It's a very relaxing experience. I really, really like it. Big props to the devs. Yeah. What was the name again, Josh?
Nikki.
Hyperkinetic.
Hyperkinetic. Big props to Hyperkinetic. Yeah. It's currently in early access on Steam. Go check it out. Have a bit of a gander. Epic Tavern. And biggest selling point, no microtransactions yet, which is good.
Yeah. But Nikki from my stream, the best quote I had on it all night, it's like Civilization but with taverns. So, and that's exactly what you're saying.
And no
so,
war. Like, you don't, yeah. Yeah. No to be war. Fair, Nikki, it's nothing like Civilization, but I get the same feeling from it.
No other civilizations that, you know, with Gandhi being the most bloodthirsty man in the world or anything like
Gandhi
that.
Gandhi can't nuke you.
No, he's the most drunk man in the world now. Right. Yeah. That's what it is. You've got to supply him with as much alcohol.
Gandhi tries to nuke you, but rolls a 2 and nukes himself. Oh, what a dumbass.
Critical fail.
Yeah, fuck.
I think that's all I've been playing. I don't even know. Like, I'm pretty sure that's probably it. I do want to get back into Wolfenstein 2, and there's a whole heap of games, but we're now obviously moving into Game of the Year mode, so...
I don't even know.
I'm pretty much screwed for that because I've not finished anything really. So it's going to be a fun conversation.
Yeah, you can't nominate anything, Wilco, because that's one of our rules at USM is you can only nominate games for Game of the Year if you actually finish them. So I don't know what you're
going to do. And most of the games I finished this year were last year's games, and most of the games I'll finish next year will be this year's games. I'm screwed.
Yeah, you're pretty...
I'm going to hopefully nominate my ones and then I'll back your ones and I'll get across the line that way. Fuck. Yeah, man, Horizon, that's fucking sick, man. I'm glad you nominated that. You should. Yeah, I agree with you.
I'm not even too sure that's going to win mine, but anyway, Josh.
Yes, that's me.
It is. What have you been up to?
That's mine.
Holy shit!
You know what? Since last Tuesday, I haven't played a lot of different stuff. Got pretty busy towards the end of last week, and then you and I came over to your place Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Friday night, wasn't it?
No, Saturday night.
Yeah. Was it Saturday night? It was too. That's right.
Because the girls had a girls' night, we had a Star Wars night.
Well, we just kind of came over and we got a bucket of chicken and did our best to eat a bucket of chicken, and we failed. We didn't eat the whole bucket of chicken.
That's a lot of fucking chicken, man. A lot of chicken.
But then we, we played Battlefront 2. The local arcade modes. It's the first time I've picked it up. first time I picked it up, it was fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's a fun game.
Especially the local arcade modes. Fun.
Yeah.
It's such a shame. I'm currently writing a review on Battlefront 2, and I'll talk a bit more about it shortly, but yeah, it's such a shame how badly EA fucked this game with their microtransactions, because it's not a bad game.
Yeah. All the bad press anyway. That surrounds it just brings it down. But no, we had some fun. We played that for a while, and I want to come and play some more and get further. It was a lot of fun playing as, you know, Darth Maul and
when we were rocking around
as Palpatine and Vader. God, that was fun.
That was fucking fun. So for those who don't know, the arcade mode in Battlefront 2 is kind of like the Spec Ops mode in the old Call of Duty games, where you can team up and you have to take on challenges, but then you can up the challenge to the next difficulty and they'll add crazy modifiers on the map where, you know, you die in one shot and stuff like that. And it gets some of the... Yeah, some of them are pretty fucking hard. Man. Yeah.
It was painful. Like that one where they were fighting the clones and fighting the droids, man.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty rough, eh? Hey? We redid that a few times.
Yeah, we did redo that. But with that said, where I have been spending pretty much all of my time since Friday is in Xenoblade Chronicles 2 on the Switch. That's it. That's where I have sunk.
How's your Cockney accent all now? Of my time.
I'm interested in this, Josh, because this is a series that I've tried. This is a series that I think that I should love. It's a JRPG. It's on Nintendo. Mm-hmm. I bought it on the 3DS, the Xenoblade Chronicle, whatever it was on 3DS, that one.
Chronicles 1, I think it was.
Yeah, and I tried to get into it. For whatever reason, I couldn't get into it. And I know I should like this game. Everything in me says, this is a game you should like. But it just doesn't interest me, and I don't know why.
Yeah, that's fair. Look, I'm 17 hours into it now, and some of the guys from the community have took some time off and actually played it once they picked it up. It's you're right. It's a JRPG, and it's got all of the tropes of a JRPG where, hey, this is a really expansive game and press this button to jump and then there you go. Have fun. Work the rest out yourself, you useless bastards, which can be a struggle. But it's, now that I'm starting to understand it and work it, like, it's a lot of fun. The story, I don't know, it may be, and that may be why you didn't like the first one possibly, is it there's almost that element of being a little bit too... kiddie, maybe, possibly.
It's very kid, you know, friendly,
like,
yeah.
Adolescent, I guess. But the depth of it and how good it looks on the Switch and how well it plays, as I said, I've sunk over the weekends and, well, since Friday, so over the past 5 days I'm into 17 hours, and that's with, you know,
that's a lot
coming
of time.
Over your joint Saturday night and not playing it at all, you know, that day. And then work for the past 2 days.
What you're telling me is that you've done nothing fucking else except play Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Pretty much, yeah. I was meant to do food shopping on Sunday. That didn't happen. I did do that one dump run, but that was about it. so I've spent all of my time with that. I'm really enjoying it, which is to me a surprise, because I picked up Xenoblade Chronicles X on the Wii U when that came out and gave up. Because that just did not press any of my buttons at all. I don't know why. But this is, a lot of fun, a really in-depth gameplay. The combat, when I first started playing, felt really like... So combat is basically auto attack. You don't have to press anything. And then as you're doing the auto attacks, you've got different arts or moves that you can do. And depending on the timing that you press them, you might get a damage bonus or not. And then the more of those you do works up your next big special for that particular weapon that you're using. And then all those specials have, like, the weapon you're using has an elemental alignment. And then all the specials, there's different combos. So, you know, like, there's fire, rock, ice, wind, all that kind of stuff. So if you do a fire move and then a more powerful fire move and then a more powerful earth move, so there's all different combos and stuff that you've really got to start digging into and try and remember, okay, so this character's got this weapon, this character's got that weapon, so if I do this then I can do that and that. So it really starts getting in depth, from when I first started playing. I'm like, oh, okay, you just kind of sit here and let the computer do it itself kind of thing, you know. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun, really in-depth. I'm really enjoying it, and I can see myself sinking a lot of time into this. I'm still in the first kind of real big city area is where I've spent all my time, just running around, picking things up, making money, doing the side quests. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
That's cool. Yeah. Glad you're enjoying that. It's a game that I definitely would like to probably play at one point when I finally buy a Switch, maybe, if I ever get around to doing that, if I ever get out of the hole of money that I'm in. Oh, God, life is fucking cruel, boys. Life is fucking cruel.
Don't worry, you're selling shirts now, you'll be good.
Oh, yeah, they got taken down. So, yeah, before I get into what I've been doing, we did release some USM shirts, and within 24 hours got most of them taken down because of copyright claims, because we released a Hutto shirt. For those long-time listeners, we used to have a bloke on the show called Jack Hutto who's moved on to bigger and better things. He now, you know, does stuff at GoTo Game and everything. He does a lot of Twitch streaming. He's quite big, and he's a good friend of ours. He used to be on the podcast all the time. Didn't say much, but he's on the podcast a lot. So we released a shirt.
We can still fake that he's on here. Yeah, I promise you now.
Fucking
we can still
probably
fake
got some soundbites. But yeah, so we released a Sad Hutto shirt. Sad Hutto is one of our emotes in our Discord channel. And within about 24 hours, it got taken down. And they said, you don't own the rights to his face. Which they're very right in saying that. We don't. But that was really hilarious. So I told Hutto and he laughed. And now the shirt isn't for sale anymore. So anyway.
Someone did get one, so yeah, there is a limited edition.
That's the thing, because we had that one and the other one taken down. And who was it? Was it Butters?
Josh.
Yeah, Butters today said, put up a picture saying that they'd dispatch. I was thinking to myself, I didn't
if
know
you buy it. No, if you buy it before it gets taken down, they have to honor it.
Right. Interesting, hey. Well, anyway, for the past week, I've been doing a whole bunch. I've been playing a lot of Tekken 7 again. Jump back into that. I got NBN connected at home a few weeks ago and I've been having some issues with it, to be honest. It's been quite hard. I dropped down quite a few levels because I just had really weird and shitty connections, and it's been better the past couple of days, so I've bounced all the way back up to Brawler again and really enjoying Tekken 7. Geese Howard was released. The Goose is loose. And he's pretty fun. I've been playing with him quite a lot as well, but still maining on Brian Fury and just loving fighting games in general. Also checking out Lost Castle. That's another game from another indie, I think, Josh, isn't it?
Yeah. Another indie, yeah.
Lost Castle.
Yeah, another indie. Guys, and Stutzies and then.
Man, that's a great fucking game. Gosh. It really reminds me of really reminds me of Rogue Legacy in a lot of ways. And Rogue Legacy was a game that I'm very, very proud of my achievements. I beat all the retro bosses, the nightmare bosses, whatever they're called. In that, one of them took me about 8 hours just bashing my fucking head against this thing all day. And Lost Castle sort of gives me those sort of vibes where it's a roguelike. So you start with a person, you get a set of very Spelunky-ish, very Binding of Isaac, but more like Rogue Legacy than anything else. You get a guy, you pick up some weapons, you make it as far as you can through the castle, you collect souls along the way, you die, you level up permanent abilities with those souls, and then you start again with another guy with different weapons and a different castle sort of thing. So it's a very fun game. If you liked Rogue Legacy, then Lost Castle will probably definitely, not probably definitely, that's a bit of a weird one. It'll definitely be up your alley. Check it out.
The other thing with Lost Castle, it does have online multiplayer too.
Yeah, it's got online multiplayer. PvP. Yeah, fuck.
They just released PvP as well. So
fuck.
It was 2-player online multiplayer. It's now up to 4-player online multiplayer. And apparently there's a PvP arena, which I haven't really played much time, done anything with yet because I've become addicted to something else. But it's something I really want to try and get in and see what the online side's like.
Yeah, I've dropped a few hours into Lost Castle. It's very good. And as Wilco stated as well, I've been playing quite a bit of Epic Tavern whenever I need a bit of downtime. It's a good game you can just, you know, sort of fire up and play for a few minutes and then sort of shut it down and come back half an hour later and play for another 10 or 15 and then, you know, walk away from it and come back again. It's a very relaxing game. It doesn't really demand a lot of your time. I've also been jumping back into Dota 2. Oh, we won't even...
Oh, really?
We won't go there. Just
you really don't like yourself.
No wonder you lost so shit.
Yeah, I'm a glutton for punishment.
Just out of interest, we're talking to Tim on the podcast last night. He is a Dota 2 fan, so when he comes on the Megacast, I'm stepping away, and you and Joey and him can just chat for like an hour.
Yeah, but you
and
see, the problem is that me and Joey play Dota 2. We talk about Dota 2, but we don't really like Dota 2 because
he's probably in the same boat. And he plays a lot of it, but I don't think he likes himself for doing it.
No, that's a lie. I do like Dota 2. I just hate losing, and I lose all the fucking time. Something else really bad happened to me probably this time last week, which is why I wasn't on the podcast.
It was this time last week.
So I got home in the afternoon and my boy was watching Hey Dougie, which I had a completely legal downloaded version of, and it stopped on the TV. I was like, that's a bit fucking weird. It just stopped. I was like, all right. And I walked into my room. I was like, why did that stop? And then I opened up my computer and immediately shit myself because my 3 terabyte hard drive, which has more or less everything on it, wasn't there. Did not appear under my computer. And when you work in IT for as long as I do, that's not a good sign. So I then spent the next 6 hours doing everything I could to recover anything I could off that hard drive. I managed to get the USM folder that's on there. Everything else is gone. So that is, you know, 15 years worth of photos. And I'm an idiot because I should have been backing it up to the cloud. And this is a good sort of, you know, this is a good teller out there to tell everyone to back this shit up. But it's very hard to back up 3 terabytes worth of stuff. And it was nearly full. It was it only had about 200 or 300 gig free. So it was about 2.7 terabytes worth of data on there. All gone. Rough day indeed. So that was shit. Been playing Star Wars Battlefront 2. I finished the campaign last night.
Cliffhanger.
No.
What are your thoughts?
Not really. I like it. I hate that I like it, but I do like it. Look, I'm writing.
This is what I'm going through at the moment because I'm tempted to buy. Like I've said for a while, even before it was released, I was tempted to buy it, and I'm really keen for it.
Yeah.
It's like $50 on Amazon Australia at the moment for the PC copy, and I'm like,
someone had it for $39.
Really do that?
Someone had it for $39.
I'm not paying full price for it.
Amazon.
That's for PS2 and
PS4 and Xbox One. $39.
Okay. Well, and the community I'll be playing with is PC. So,
Well, I'll tell you right now, I did not think that I'd be playing this game at all because I personally wasn't gonna buy it. I was lucky enough to get it for my birthday, which was justification for me to play it because I didn't pay for it. I didn't support it. And yeah, man, I'm really torn on this game. Hey, because I know how insidious it was, everything surrounding it. I also tend to think, and I've written this in and I've got a review coming out, and I'll sort of preface it a little bit here. What EA did was bad. No doubt. No excuses. But I also think that they're probably bearing the brunt of years of built-up frustration at this shit. Like, I think this was the straw that broke the camel's back. Like,
I think you're wrong.
You know, like, we've been dealing with this shit for a long time, and this was just the one that was just a step too far, and we went, you know what? Fuck you. You know, like, and it just blew up from there, and because it was a fucking Star Wars game.
The fact that it's Star Wars.
Yeah.
The fact that Star Wars has been the biggest catalyst to the whole thing.
So, you know,
there is not much different, honestly, to FIFA. There's not much different to FIFA, what they're doing with FIFA, what they've done with FIFA for the last probably six, 7 years.
I mean, there's a game out right now that's not causing a bigger stir, but the microtransactions are 10 times worse by EA, and that's the new UFC game. That's really bad. The microtransactions and
beta.
Oh, okay. Well, the reported way that they're in there is really bad, like really egregious and really nefarious. So
Need for Speed was the same as well, but it was bad.
Yeah. As well. So Star Wars Battlefront 2, I've been playing that, and look, I've been enjoying my time with it. It's not a 10 out of 10 game. It's probably not even a 9 out of 10 game, but it's a good experience, and it sure as hell the best Star Wars game we've had in a long time. And it tells an untold story that is canonical, that raises some interesting questions, and like about the Star Wars universe as a whole. And it's just, it just sucks. it sucks so much. There's so much negativity, and it's just fuck you, EA. Why did you have to do this to this game, to this like this franchise? God, it makes me mad. I don't know. Anyway, my reviews.
We got a lot more EA to talk about.
Yeah, my reviews coming out. My reviews coming out on that. Hopefully in the next few days. I'll preface it by saying I'm going to do everything I can to voice how shit the situation is at the start, and then actually review the game for the game. Try to leave a lot of the other negativity out throughout the review. So I'm going to try and do it justice for that reason. But anyway, I've also been reading a shitload of manga, which is odd because I don't really read that much. But it's just I've got this app on my phone, just lets you read manga, and I'm a big One Piece fan. A lot of people know that. I've got a lot of like One Piece statues and shit. And
you do.
I've read a few mangas. I've read like Gantz. I've been reading Berserk for years, reading One Piece, read Naruto, read Death Note, all that sort of stuff, all the main sort of mangas. Recently finished Dead Man Wonderland, which is a really interesting one about a prison and people who can control their blood and turn it into weapons, which was pretty cool. I finished another one, a ninja one that I can't remember the name of now, that's really, really popular. It's a sort of a classic. And I started reading another one called, is it Dr. Stone? I think it's Dr. Stone. Yeah. And it's, fuck, it's good. It's really, really good. It's about these two high school kids. One of them is like a science prodigy, and the other one is just like some dumb, but he's really tough. And they're besties, they're best mates. Best friends forever, and the world ends more or less instantly, like that. The whole world gets turned to stone. All humans get petrified. Boom, and then
they haven't really covered out yet. What, like, there's no cover out at the start of what the reasoning is behind that, is there? It just happens.
No. They're just like within the first few pages, the dumb guy is about to tell the girl that he has a crush on, that he likes her, and the scientist prodigy is like looking at him, laughing at him, and then an explosion happens in the distance. And they're all like, what the fuck? And then they just get turned to stone within the first few pages. And then there's this weird like dream sequence where time passes, and then the dumb guy wakes up and he doesn't really understand what's going on. And then you quickly find out that it's been 3,700 years and the earth is completely like jungle and stuff. And it's really like, it's just the earth is back to being healthy again. And the science prodigy is also woken up, and it's like this story where this, he's trying to recreate everything from scratch, like the world as it was, like science and technology and everything. So the first few books he goes through, you know, this is how we're going to create glass, and this is how we're going to do it. And it's fucking cool because you can tell that the people who are writing it have actually done their research and know like what chemical components go into this stuff, and the way that it's really fucking good. Like, I don't, you know, it's, yeah, I'm really, really enjoying it. There's currently about 36 or 37 or 38 chapters out, and I reached the end of it, and I'm like frothing for more. I really want more of this. And also started reading another one, another classic called Sunken Rock, which is really cool as well. Anyway, enough about fucking manga, because I could probably go on for a little bit longer. I'm really into it at the moment. Well, I guess, yeah, I fucking could at this point. Dr. Stone. Go read it. Let's do this.
This is the fucking news.
Holy moly. Can we just all hug? Because there's a bit of negativity in video games at the moment, mate. Jesus.
There is a bit.
Yeah, so Epic. Epic is...
I love my salt get stuffed.
You salty prick. So Epic is suing a kid for cheating. Now, this is interesting because the IGN article sort of says Epic sues minor for cheating in Fortnite, but it's a little bit
the mother responds
but if you go and read the actual Kotaku article, I believe that Epic have accused this 14-year-old boy of not just like using a cheat, but being the one who helped develop and sell this cheat for other players, to other players, and that's why they've targeted him. Now the mother's come out and said, her son did not, as Epic alleged, help create the cheat software, but simply downloaded it as a user, and that Epic has no capability of proving any form of modification. Like, they can't actually prove that he helped create this thing. So it's a bit of a weird one.
And then doesn't she come out as well and say
it has been settled though now? as in the last 24 hours they have come out. And yeah, oh, I'm just reading the article now. This is very bad podcasting, I'm sorry, but after being banned at least 9 times during this, he can play Fortnite if he wishes, but any more cheat can result in him paying $5,000 to Epic Games when caught. The injunction can be seen here in full on PDF. So they've basically put an injunction out on him. There's nothing to pay at the moment, but if he continues cheating,
so it's a slap on the wrist. Time, yeah,
pretty much.
I thought it was really interesting that the mother came out and said, said to play Epic, they have to get underage people have to get parental consent, and then because he never actually came and got the mother's consent, then there's no legal charge or something like that. I think one of the articles said. I'm like, that's a really backwards way of looking at it, because mum, I didn't ask mum if I could do it. I'm not accountable.
Yeah, I don't get that. So why did he have the consent form signed? Like,
it's part of the user agreement when you first log in.
Yeah.
Anybody underage has to get, you know, parental consent, and I think the because it's a, you know, MA 15 plus game or something like that. I think you know, so
he is, as far as they're concerned, he's gone and done it. It's not up to after them to follow that up, to be honest.
But yeah, so I thought that was really interesting anyway.
It's a bit of a weird one.
It sent a message, I think, to a few people out there that would have been cheating in the future. And yeah. Just don't be a dickhead. That's what it comes down to. Well, USM rule number one, use it in your life. Yeah. Don't be a dickhead.
It's a good rule to have, realistically. It really is. Oh, man, Tencent. So PUBG's coming to China, which is interesting. Coming to mobile
in China.
And it's from fucking Tencent.
I struggle to understand how PUBG's going to be a mobile game. Like, you know, and I struggle to understand. It's hard enough with a fucking keyboard and mouse, let alone on a touchscreen mobile phone.
Oh, I don't know how it's going to work either, but if anyone can do it, it's China.
Well, so, it doesn't matter, you know, because China's going to do it. China lead it up, and they'll make lots of money.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
No one here will play.
Let's just not talk about that. Yeah. Bluehole's new game is a steampunk MMO called Ascent Infinite Realm.
It's old news.
It's got fucking dragons.
Ooh, and, dragons, baby. I'm in.
And steampunk ships. So, you know, just
throw it back at $1,000, please, right now. Dragons, baby.
So, I don't know.
Just... Hey, man, last time a AAA Dragon game came out, did not do that well.
No. But Lair.
Yeah.
That was so awesome.
That was That was a rough game.
PS4 exclusive. Rough. No, PS3 exclusive. Fuck.
Yeah, it was fucking... on this shit. Exclusively shit. It was fucking crap.
But it had motion controls, dude. Your motion.
Oh, God. Remember that? When everything had to have motion. Fucking, I'm glad trend died in the ass.
Thank you. Fucking.
Yeah. Civ 6 has a new expansion. It's arriving early in 2018, which looks pretty damn cool. Oh,
I'm pretty keen for that. Mm. I love Civ. Yeah. It's a fun game.
Can we just call it Game of the Year now and not have to worry about the podcast next year?
No. I don't think so. Speaking of Game of the Year, Shin Megami Tensei 5 is probably coming to Switch. Well, it is coming to Switch outside of Japan, which means it's coming west.
It's coming west. Which, now, I don't know really anything about Shin Megami Tensei, but is it fairly often that they don't leave the Asia market, Matt?
Very often.
Yeah, okay.
From what I understand, and I could be very wrong, and send your corrections in if you want. We have to open up a corrections department.
We're never wrong, sure though.
Yeah, fuck off. I'm pretty sure that this is the Shin Megami Tensei is where Persona series comes from.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
You convinced me, mate.
I could be very wrong. Could be very wrong. And after Persona 5, I could see why this would come across, especially after the success of Persona 5 in the West. So,
yeah.
I even bought it the other day, Perko. You used to be so proud of me.
You bought Persona 5?
Yeah, it's like 50% off in the Black Friday sale, and I'm never probably going to play it, but I wanted to support that game because I think it's probably one of the best games of the year, even though I haven't played it.
Oh, it's a great game. It really is. Love that game. Fuck off, Wilco.
I did buy it, though. I honestly did.
Yeah, you did. I know you did. Oh, please play it. I would love to hear your opinion on Persona 5. Please put 100 hours into that game.
like I said, these are all next year's games. So,
oh, Persona 5 Wilco's game of the year 2018.
Why not?
So what's going on with Bungie? Are they doing anything or just pissing people off again?
They had to cancel. They had the three streams set up for Curse of Osiris, which launches in like the next couple of hours.
And yeah, tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah, no, yeah, it's 4 a.m. our time. Tomorrow morning it officially launches. And so they had the whole backlash we talked about last week where they lied to consumers and basically throttled your XP without you knowing it. Now,
oh, I heard about that. Yeah, how cool is that?
I watched a very, like, I've been watching a lot of Skill Up lately. He's making some good content, but he brought up a very good point that people bought boosters, paid money for boosters, for XP boosters, and they didn't get what they paid for because their XP was getting throttled without them being told. So there is, legally, there's a lawsuit there.
Potentially,
but,
yeah.
But look, they cancelled the final stream, which is about the cosmetic items coming to, well, the armor and the weapons coming to Curse of Osiris. And they instead they released a podcast where Luke Smith and the other guy, the two main guys that are working on it, sat down and talked pretty frankly about the situation that Destiny 2 is currently in. And it's I'd go listen to it. I'd recommend if you're interested in the world of Destiny 2, go listen to it. Pretty good stuff. It understands a lot of the processes that they've come to get Destiny 2 in the position that it is in, which is not a very good state.
Lukewarm. Man, Destiny 2 is kind of like, it's the personification of preparing yourself to jump into like water and either going, okay, this is either going to be really fucking cold or for some reason it's going to be really hot and I'm going to have to get out. And you jump in and it's just room temperature and you're like, oh. Well,
so, look,
this isn't bad, I guess, but fuck, it's pretty lukewarm.
If you don't agree with that, you could be like IGN and name it as possibly one of your games of the year. But look, we'll move on.
You're a bit sour about some of the supposed game of the years this year, I think, Wilco.
Oh. It's clearly not the game of the year, and it is clearly in there just to get some clicks. But anyway, what they've done is they've basically said, look, we're going to give you things to aim for. We're going to put in ranked PvP. We're going to basically give you more exotics. They're bringing back three coins. Everything that you loved from Destiny 1 is going to be in Destiny 2, which is like, well, like the feeling a lot of the community has is let's just go back and play Destiny 1, everyone.
So wait. Let me get this straight. So they released a...
Yeah,
a podcast, right?
Now the podcast, yep, and said we're doing it all. Yeah.
So like, they cancelled the stream to address the issues that cropped up about the throttling, and then mm-hmm. released a statement and a podcast and stuff that said, "Yep, we know there's some issues, but hey, look at these shiny things we're bringing back to the game."
They addressed the throttling issue.
Because okay. That's what I just took out of that. They're like, yeah, we know that happened, but look at the shinies, guys.
The blog post was, there's a lot of dissent in the Destiny 2 community right now, and it's all about the fact that there's no end game. The podcast went on to say, look, we aimed at a tourist gamer, which is the people who come in and leave. We sort of tried to appeal to them. The hobbyists, which is the people who are the hardcore players, they didn't really aim for them. And basically, both of those slots have left Destiny 2. There's hardly anyone playing the PvP at the moment, so that's why they're talking about ranked PvP, because it's one of the biggest things asked for.
No, however, they can't do PvP because they don't fucking have a good system in place.
Well, you don't have dedicated servers, so the ranked PvP is going to put you against someone in the opposite side of the world. And
worse, because they have client-side authoritative, mm-hmm. like, you know, so... Their system's not good.
No, but look, long story short, there's a whole heap of changes coming to Destiny 2, which is pretty much, if you're a hardcore gamer, a hardcore Destiny 2 fan, it's not going to address any of those issues because it's just not giving you anything new to grind for. They're giving you stuff for free, like this new Masterclass stuff, which is just going to be a drop. So they're a new type of legendary weapon. You don't have to earn them. You don't have to really do anything to them. You just got to get them as a drop. They're going, we hear you about this token system. We hear you don't like it. So here's more tokens. Have more tokens. and they're not addressing the actual fundamental issue of the token system. So
the fundamental issue of the token system is that there's no more excitement. Well, I'm so sick of random chance, like slot machine crap. I want to go out and get something from killing a hard enemy. Exactly. That's what I want to do. I don't want a token where I take that back to a vendor and then do a fucking dice roll on three things that I know I'm going to get one of them. No, I want to be like, okay, look up on a wiki online somewhere and go, shit, how do you get this weapon? Uh-huh. Okay, so you have to go and kill... Fuck, you have to go and kill this boss, but first I have to get this quick. Like, I loved getting Rat King.
Yeah.
Rat King was fucking fun to get. Mm-hmm. It was the funnest weapon in that game to get because it actually had some sort of a quest line. You had to do shit to get it. You had to beat bosses and stuff. And, like, I remember in Destiny 1... I remember in WoW. I remember going, like, mount hunting in WoW, like, collecting mounts and stuff, and used to have to get friends together to go and raid fucking Alliance cities if you were Horde or vice versa and stuff, and like... camping the time lost proto drake and shit like that. Like, if they want to appeal to hobbyists, make some shit like that. If they want to appeal to the tourist gamers, then they need to dumb down their current game and make it a tourist game, not this mid-range MMO that doesn't appeal to anyone.
And that is the echo, the sentiment that's being echoed by the whole Destiny 2 community at the moment is that.
My understanding was that with when Taken King came out for Destiny 1, everybody really loved that. And then what was the release after that?
Well, it was a massive step in the right direction. Yeah. For the first time, Destiny 1 had the amount of content that one would expect from
that kind of
pseudo first-person shooter MMO game.
You had epic quests that went on quests after the game story finished. Yeah. And you had
what was the one after that? Iron Wolves or something?
Rise of Iron.
Yeah, so.
No, it wasn't. No, Taken King was the last one.
No, that was the last expansion, wasn't it?
Rise of Iron came in. Which was the Live Team's one. That's why you don't remember it. The Live Team put together because that was when Destiny 2 was supposed to launch.
Yeah.
But they delayed it a year. And if they didn't release a major bit of content, Activision got the right to buy out all of Bungie's shares.
But anyway, you know, like when that came out, you know, I really enjoyed the quests to go and get the sword and, you know, do this, do that. And then to try and level the sword up again, you had to do all this random shit. You had to go get planetary
materials, which was shit. But the rest of it was good.
Yeah.
The Black Spindle was one of the most exciting things to ever happen to Destiny at all, where it was, oh, hold on, some dude just randomly at the end of the daily mission found a door and all of a sudden there's a whole extra thing here. And
was fucking cool.
There's a exotic, which is a really good exotic at the end of it.
The problem they have is a lot of people, you can't expect, you just can't expect WoW levels of content because, I mean, even vanilla WoW, that game took months to reach max level. Months to reach max level. And the content in that game was hundreds of hours long. We're never, ever going to see a AAA. It wouldn't fit on a fucking disc. Yeah. And the download would be, especially with like the textures and the shaders and stuff that we have now, a lot of the effort in these games goes into visuals and multiplayer modes and all that sort of stuff. Whereas back then, those things didn't exist and visuals were still pretty good for their time, but they weren't anything special.
I think the biggest issue the Destiny community has right now, to be honest, is the fact that Destiny 1, by the end of it, was a really good game with a whole heap of content to keep you going, and there was a reason to grind week in, week out. They've stripped most of that back for Destiny 2, and then they're piecemealing it. Oh, hold on, we'll give you three coins back. Oh, I will give you the heroic strike list back now. Oh, we'll give you private games now.
The other problem with it is, as well, is the push for Destiny, the lure on the end of the string for Destiny 1 was Destiny 2. Like, a lot of people were playing Destiny 1 to say, yeah, now I can take my character across to Destiny 2 and continue. And you couldn't do that from day fucking dot.
Yeah.
But the other big issue, too, that's running in, Destiny's all about a collection game. They're about, here, collect this, collect that.
Mm.
And then they turn around and say...
Destiny 1's a collection game. Destiny 2 is a slot machine simulator.
Yeah, but they're still about... all you have to do is collect these things. But then they turn around and say, well, Destiny 3 is only a couple of years away anyway, and you're going to lose everything again. So what's the point of collecting all this shit? But we're also talking about vault space as an issue where people are having fucking can't even fit all their shit into a vault, and this is the same problem we've had for 3 years. Like, it's just frustrating as fucking hell. But yeah, anyway, that's Bungie's current situation.
So I guess with all that said,
yes,
knowing that the new expansion is going to drop tomorrow.
Oh yes, I'm worried about that.
Any of us going to play?
No, I'm not.
I want to because I want to see what the content is, but I've heard it's very, very condensed into the one thing, and it's more of the same. And I'm worried.
Of course, it's more of the same. Destiny 2 is more of the same of Destiny 1. You're still playing Destiny.
No, like it's less. That's the problem. It's less than Destiny 1, and like they're not addressing the PvP is shit. Because if you're not going in with a group of four and sitting by every, they're calling it bum grabbing. Is the current meta, because unless you're grabbing the ass of the guy next to you and the rest of your team, you're not going to win. Yeah. And it's just not fun. And it's just not fun. And no, like, that's just the hardcore.
Oh, I don't know. Come on, mate. Grabbing some bums. It's a little bit fun. It's a little bit fun.
He's there, but.
Well, that's a good point. It depends what bums. Yes.
Come on, calm down.
It's just like, it's at the base of it, it's a really good shooter. And at the base of it, it's brought so many people together. And that's what some people are coming out and saying. Like, I've got all these friends online because I just don't have people. Like, I've moved to a new town. I've got no friends around me. What was keeping me going was all these friends that I used to play Destiny 1 with. Like, we get together every Tuesday night, and they've just walked away from Destiny 2 because it's just not there. And these people are they're being affected in their personal lives because they've got no one now because they had these people. So it's just frustrating as fuck. But look, it's a great game, and it'll be win game of the year for IGN. So great. Go for it. Let's go.
It's a good game. It's not a great game. I spent a lot of time with it, and I had fun with it, but it's not a great game.
You know
it's
what's
good
really
game.
Good, though? What really got me excited? Avengers. Fucking
Infinity War trailer.
How good was that shit?
Yeah, it was pretty fucking good. I'm pretty stoked. Pretty excited.
Oh, man.
Pretty dang excited.
Oh, Justice Lee's going to shit all over it, though, I reckon. Oh, no, hold on.
I'm going to shit all over you, motherfucker. Watch your fucking mouth.
There is so much to talk about in that trailer. I actually watched one of those dissection trailers.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I've never watched one of them in my life, but I'm like, fuck, I just want to know everything about this, and watched about a 15, 20-minute
so review of the trailer. Do we have any predictions for Avengers?
Oh, Cap's going to die.
You reckon Cap's going to die? I reckon it's Iron Man.
I reckon Iron Man's going to die, yep.
100%. Iron Man's holding someone's dead hand at one stage by the look of it in the trailer, so.
Downey Jr. Yep, Downey Jr.'s going to go. Because
he's wanted out for a while.
Yeah, no, but what I'm thinking is I'd have to go back and look, but that bit where it looks like he's holding someone's hand, to me, just stinks of the first, was the second Avengers, where they made Ultron, you know, that vision he saw? Yeah. So I reckon it's just that scene's just more of that, and then he's, you know, going to sacrifice himself so people don't die. That's my thought.
That's I reckon it's Iron Man. I reckon Iron Man's going
to
die.
Because they are sort of positioning Spider-Man to sort of be as a future leader of that kind of stuff.
More news coming out is that Marvel are pushing really hard to get their all their licenses back from Fox and everyone.
Mm.
And that'd be awesome if they do.
Man, if they do... And an X-Men movie legitimately comes out.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Fuck.
Like, can you imagine Daredevil running around in that world? Fucking.
Oh, can you imagine a fucking good Wolverine?
Yeah.
God.
Oh shit.
Rip. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Storm being fucking interesting again and not boring as fuck? Halle Berry. Fuck. That excites me.
It does. It's just like that trailer just is they just got so much more to it than what DC does in the far as the movies go. It makes me want to go back and watch all the movies again to catch up.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. I really do like DC. I think I like it. And I enjoyed the Justice League movie, but I did read something today, I think it was today, that made sense. Like they're saying, and you know, like, In the Justice League movie, you're fighting Steppenwolf, and Steppenwolf is trying to get the mother boxes together, which is the big thing that can destroy the world, right? So if they introduce the mother boxes and Steppenwolf in one movie and then defeat it, whereas Marvel have had the Infinity Stones,
Yeah, fucking placed through fucking movies for the past fucking 8 years.
It feels like an 8 year long TV series.
Yeah, there's that build up to it. And then,
like, but how intelligent, man? That two things. Number one, that is putting a lot of faith on the watchers. That is saying, you know what, the people who watch these movies aren't dumb.
Yep.
Let's do this. Let's treat them maturely. We don't have to cram all this in one movie. Let's build a fucking empire out of this. Let's build some canon around this. Yep. And they're treating us with respect in that sense. And I fucking respect the hell out of them for that. Because it's very good. Very, very good cinematic storytelling. Love it.
That last scene where Thor turns around and sees the Guardians and just goes, well, who the hell are you guys?
Yeah, that's sick. Like,
I've got to watch the new Thor too.
I've got to watch Thor. Fuck. I've got to watch Spider-Man. I haven't actually watched Homecoming yet. Yeah. And I think I've missed Ant-Man, so I've got to go back and do that. But then Black Panther's coming out between now and then. That's where they reckon that the final stone's going to come out. So, they just can't step. Do a step wrong, and I'm really excited. Like I'm thinking today about the fact that Square's got the license, and we're going to get so many announcements in 2018. Oh, it's going to be such a good year for Marvel next year.
God damn, it's going to be good. Yes, bring out a good superhero game again. Fuck yeah, right. Jeez. I'm really excited about that. And moving on, the reason why Star Wars Battlefront 2 loot boxes don't focus on cosmetics is because apparently you don't want Darth Vader in pink.
So this was an article.
I do want Darth Vader in pink. I really want Darth Vader in pink.
Yeah.
Hardcore.
I thought this was funny. So this is a quote from, what's his guy, Jorgensen, whoever the fuck Jorgensen is. The CFO, Blake Jorgensen, right? He says, and this is what he says. He says,
he's saying this to investors, by the way.
Coming into it wasn't as easy if we were building a game around our own IP where it didn't really matter. It matters in Star Wars because Star Wars fans want realism. And then later he says, I'm looking for it here, he says something about, they don't want to violate the canon. Because the canon's never been violated for Star Wars before. So we've now got a game where you can play as Darth Maul and fight Rey. But, man, let's not violate the canon. We want realism here.
Okay, Josh, you're the voice of reason all the time. Where's that excuse stand with Need for Speed, Payback, with UFC 3, with...
You know, why try and dress it up in this other excuse? You know, why try?
Why can't they just come out and say, yeah, man, we want money?
Just for once, be upfront with us. Exactly. Bro,
yeah, we're a fucking corporation. We want money. Yeah. Like we're going to actively try to get money. We're sorry that we're going about it too hard. We'll rethink our strategy. But look, we need money. Yeah. We need money to make this shit run. If you want us to make good games, we need money.
Yes.
Like I don't know. I don't understand why that is such a bad thing. Like why they can't come out and just fucking say that.
Exactly.
Like why? Don't touch
that. Oh no, we can't violate the canon of Star Wars. Yeah. You know, we want realism in this game. Realism. In a game based on a fantasy franchise, which is a fantasy game, we want realism.
Science fiction, to be fair.
Well, same, but different.
They didn't even need to do the different colours of Vader, though. They could have just done the different period.
No, pieces. They should have. They should they have done anything in the world. You know they should have been able to. I should have been able to been a fucking little, completely purple Yoda with fucking. Polka-dotted fluoro fucking garments on, just leaping over a Darth Maul who was fucking green and red. Yeah. That would have been the best thing ever.
They're so worried about, you know, you can't violate the canon, you know, and it's got to be right. And then in this article that this is in, down the bottom, they're like, but have you seen this Bandai licensed Darth Vader that's actually a samurai? Come on. Anyway.
So let's just hope EA doesn't get their hands on Pikachu and we can't have any coloured Pikachu.
It's so Pikachu, the ambassador for Osaka Olympics. Woo.
It's actually very interesting that Bosk is in the game because, because they stamped out all the canon. They said that, Disney took over Star Wars, they said all of the side stuff, all the stories, the only thing that's a canon now are the things that we've made. Yeah.
The original movies,
and the original movies. Yeah. Is he in Clone Wars, the cartoon series?
Isn't he in a scene in one of the movies?
He's technically in Empire Strikes Back for a scene, but there's nothing around him. Nothing. These are Oh, I guess there is a, because they're all in that scene.
Yeah.
No, Bosk, Zuckuss, and Forlomb are in that scene. I think IG-88's in that scene as well.
Yeah.
I don't think Dengar's in the scene, who's another big bounty hunter.
I don't think Dengar.
But yeah, I can't remember, because like I used to have the bounty hunter stories, and it was one of my favorite books growing up. And yeah, it just sucks that none of that exists anymore. But it's interesting that Bosk is in it, like one of the side characters that I would have thought would have been, could have potentially been on the chopping block of the canon, is in this game. And the fact that they chose Bosk, because Bosk is also, like, IG-88 is probably a more popular bounty hunter than Bosk is.
Yeah, you're probably
interesting.
Right there.
Hmm.
You're
right
there. Anyway, back to my magnificent segue that you ruined.
Soz, Beb.
Soz, but not really.
Yeah.
So Pikachu named as the ambassador for Osaka. Yep. How good is that?
Pikachu and Hello Kitty. This has all got to do with the country's bid to host the World Expo in 2025. I don't know why.
How do you get Pikachu to run for ambassador? Your Pokemon.
You're a dad.
Yeah, I'm a fucking idiot. Yeah. All right, that's all I need to know. Yeah. That's cool.
Going to Mega
Fair
Man.
Enough. Yeah, Mega Man X to X8 coming to PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC this summer. And Mega Man 11 has been announced, which is weird.
Yes.
Because isn't... I don't know how that works. Because I don't know how that works.
Why not? Why don't you know?
Mega Man X is Mega Man 10. Yeah, I know. It's not really. I understand it's that it's really. Not. But
I think Pico just had a stroke, by the way, people.
Aneurysm. Get it right, Wilco.
Sorry.
Multiple times a day. Anyway.
I couldn't be less caring about this, to be honest. Yeah. Anyway,
lots of Mega Man coming. I love Mega Man.
So this is the first... Mega Man 11 is going to be the first new Mega Man for quite some time too, isn't it?
They did one recently. I think it was like 7 or 8, I think, because it was the one that was missing, and they only released that it was a few years ago now, probably PS3 era.
Yeah, I think the last one was PS3.
But it's the first new Mega Man to come out in a while. Mm. They redid the Mega Man collections, which were really... They were really shit, actually. They weren't very good. Didn't do it much justice.
But what about Mighty No. 9?
Moving on.
Mega Man's coming out pretty soon, I think.
Moving on.
Yeah. Apparently, Ubisofties are giving away two games, Assassin's Creed Black Flag and World in Conflict.
World in Conflict is such a fucking rad game. Go play it. It's actually from Massive, who are behind The Division, so... Go play it. It's got the expansion with it too. It's currently the free version. So I think you log on to Uplay and get it that way, I think, Josh. I didn't read too much into it. But,
yeah,
no. Till the 11th of December, it is for free. And then from the 13th through to something, it's Assassin's Creed Black Flag. Pick up both games if you haven't got them for free already.
Yeah, like, I mean, they're free games.
Actually, World in Conflict, I've got the box version sitting behind me anyway as well. So it's really good. Definitely, if you're keen RTS fan, pick it up.
And Black Flag has been said to have been, before Origins, the last good Assassin's Creed that came out, or decent.
I will probably pick that up for free, and I'll probably play that over Christmas at some stage after I finish Origins.
If you haven't played it and you want to get it for free.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, Ubisoft.
Yeah, thank you. We've gone through UFC 2 and 3 comparisons.
Did we?
Yeah, we went through it before.
Not on podcast. We did it before the podcast.
No, we did mention it earlier.
No, we mentioned it. I don't want to go too much. We've poo-pooed on EA enough. Guess what? They released another game. Guess what? It's shit and has microtransactions. There's also... Oh, fuck, more EA news. Jesus. So
this is the good side of it. This is the good news they brought out. Okay, so if you're not keeping up with the EA saga, their stock plummeted and they've wiped $6 billion off their...
Deservedly so. Worth. Fixing
now,
shit.
What they've just come off the back of that, coincidence or not, is, hey, Star Wars Battlefront 2, we hear you loud and clear. We've got some updates coming in the next big update, which is for when the movie launches. And look, they all, from what I've read, seem like good things. So it's fixing the progression system where if you win... If how you play the game in multiplayer is how you're rewarded. So if you're at the top of the leaderboard at the end of the game, you get more credits than the person at the bottom. It's no longer just this bland, you get the same amount no matter what. They're tripling the cap on the arcade mode that you can get in every day.
Yeah, we hit that pretty quickly, didn't we, Josh?
Yeah, it was,
yeah, so you,
I don't know, maybe an hour, if that.
So they've tripled.
Even tripling it is not enough for even one. Nah, one.
It shouldn't be a cap there in the first place, to be honest, because yeah, you should be able to play the game the way you want. The login chests that you got, which apparently were worthless, now actually do have some value.
Oh, good, because I was only getting like 50 credits and a couple of crafting parts.
Yeah, so they're actually increasing that up to more of a standard loot crate.
Not that I actually care, because I don't actually give a shit about that whole system. I just like playing the fucking game.
Yeah. So, look, but that they are addressing the concerns and actually making changes to make the game. But, look, it's 100% on the back of the fact that their stock price dropped 5% in one day, and it's dropped, I think, from $120 down to about $100 at the moment.
Their game has also dropped massive amounts, with Amazon Australia saying today they've dropped it to $39.
Yes, so if you do want to put a bargain, Amazon Australia is officially open. $39 on console, $49 on PC. Yeah. I think BW is doing the same price as well, trying to get it out the door, because that's the only one they can do it.
I've got to ask the question.
I love a big dub.
Like Amazon Australia coming and dropping the price to $39. Understanding that there's probably a reason, and let's ignore for a little bit. It's Battlefront 2. Like any new game where the majority of new games are up around.
It's not just that's the one that's in this. They've also got Assassin's Creed Origins. I thought was in there, and the new COD, both $49.
Yeah, so there are some good bargains on it. This is the one that stands out. Though, obviously with it, that fits in with the new.
Is that not detrimental?
No,
They've bought or they've got stock of this game and no one's buying it, dude. They've got to sell it.
Yeah, okay.
And look, if it's like any of the other retailers that are in this market, all the big ones, they've got that on consignment anyway. So it's actually probably EA stock that's sitting in their stores. Well, they don't really care.
That's what I was thinking.
So like, EA's saying, oh, shit.
I wasn't sure if Amazon would be considered as a consignment stock kind of thing.
Oh, they'd have to be on consignment, I'd assume. So, they wouldn't pay for it until they sell it. So EA's made this price cut for them.
Yeah, I just got to think, like, okay.
Oh, the other thing is, look, it gets people to the website. They've just opened. If they lose, like, $30 or $20 every time they sell one of them, they're hoping to make that up on more higher margins. Yeah, like JB works it. JB puts, what, Gran Turismo out for $29 the other day. They're hoping you come in and buy three or four other things with it, or a PlayStation 4. Yeah, so, look, either way, it makes sense. Either EA's made the discount or they're making the discount. Either way, they've got more stock of it than they need, and they need to sell it.
Yeah, because there's no margin on video games. Like, there really isn't. So what they're doing is they're dropping this to $39, and then the consumer will come along and go, look, I was expecting to pay $99, so why don't I buy... You know, I've spent $40 here. Why don't I spend $50 on something over here? Because I'm still actually saving $10 that way. And then the something they spend $50 on is something with much more higher markup.
And,
the company actually makes more money. Yeah.
That's what Amazon's built around, is the fact that, hey, look, people have bought this, also buy this, this, and this. And then
I guess I was thinking more along the lines of, hey, you know, like, this is a game that we've had massive talks about microtransactions, and one of the reasons, I guess, that
the arguments, games don't sell for as much, and blah blah blah.
So, is this not then detrimental to the whole thing,
Josh? Josh, put it this way: if this game was hard to keep in stocks because it was selling at $79 or $99, they would not discount this game.
Yeah, that's true.
Straight up,
that's why Nintendo games never get discounted ever.
Exactly.
Because they don't make enough of them, and they're always hard to find.
They never make enough.
So they never get discounted, and they always sell out. It's ridiculous. Whereas companies like this print way too many, and then they get discounted to stupid amounts. Anyway, Division 1.8 released is as well. Yay!
Yay! Cool. Timmy just said it's live now, so it's pretty exciting. We had Binary on the podcast for Locked On Sunday night. Looks pretty good. It's biggest update they've ever done for free.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Moving into the news, that's it for listener. That's it for the news. If you want to help us out with listener feedback, moving into that, you can jump on the Discord. You can come and ask us questions in the podcast channel, or you can email us directly at megacast@ultrasupermega.com.au. This week's listener feedback comes from Damuji. Damuji says, "Why do you think that Daybreak does not give a damn about the fact that every single game you play there is a hacker? You guys being all security nerdy, what is the best route for Daybreak to take? Because at the moment, they don't seem to give a fuck. Also, can I nominate Xenoblade for Game of the Year?" Yeah, you can, man. You can nominate that. We'll chuck it in there for discussions. And I don't know. I have to talk to Daybreak. They probably don't give a fuck.
Close to the reasoning.
They're probably making it. They're probably making a shit ton of money off the loot boxes and stuff like that. And they're probably like, how do we put more loot boxes in the game?
That's what it comes down to. It's a cost analysis thing. If it's going to cost them too much to and stop people from spending money, then they're not going
to
do it.
It's pretty hard to stop hackers. Like, it's not it's not easy. Hey, it's not it's really not easy to stop hackers on PC. Like, it's not an easy thing to do. Consoles is a little bit different because they're closed systems. On PC, where you have access to a whole bunch of shit without impeding on the person's privacy, you can't really do too much. you can't really do it much.
It's diminishing returns. For the more money they sink into it, the less people, less effective it's going to be anyway, because people are just going to find ways around it. And you're probably going to start catching people who aren't hacking at that stage, and then it's going to piss off the community.
False positives, all sorts of shit. And then, like, there's, you got to understand that for the entire dev team, for every, I would say for every five people they have on their dev team or their security team, there are 10 people twice as smart out there looking for ways to fuck them over. Like, I don't, you're not, that's not a battle you're going to win. You know, So, mitigation is all good, but it's a pretty rough one.
Start suing people, though, I guess.
Yeah, just go Epic's. Do Epic's thing. Sue a minor.
I don't know what the answer is. If there was an answer, Jesse, it'd be in every fucking multiplayer game since CS Source. Like, even earlier than that. If there was an answer to this, it wouldn't be happening today. It still happens because it's just so fucking hard to police. It's so hard to police, dude. Yeah. And I'm sure that they give a fuck, but I don't know how that fuck translates to how much they're willing to spend on stopping it.
Yeah, because that's expensive to stop it.
Yeah, it is, yeah. I think we've pretty much answered that question, I think.
I think so.
We're good.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. Last Wave Agent. Thank you for the questions, by the way, guys. Demuji and Last Wave. I've never played a Batman game apart from Lego Batman. What's the best one in terms of gritty, grumpy Batman? Oh, easily the first one. Easily Arkham Asylum. Yeah, easily. Asylum, yeah. Easily. Easily.
I think all the Arkham games are pretty good, but Asylum's the best of them.
Not the last one.
I think Arkham Asylum. Okay. Yeah, I think Arkham Asylum is great. The rest of them are, you're right, pretty good. Asylum's fucking great. Yeah, Asylum, like, it's really good. It's like Asylum. It's the equivalent of Alien, Aliens, and Alien 3. Aliens was just tense. It was in a closed space. It was an amazing horror movie. It was a slasher flick in space. It was everything you were looking for. Aliens didn't necessarily try to be that. It opened it up. It was a lot more action-packed. It was still good, but not necessarily as good as Alien. Then Alien 3, they just lost the fucking plot. But yeah, very similar, I think.
Yeah. Definitely. Just quickly on this, if you're boycotting the questions, please don't. We love you. Just ask questions. Timbo and Steve.
They're boycotting the questions because we won't stream the podcast anymore because for a few different reasons. And that's my decision. So boycott me, you bastards. What are we looking forward to, guys? Send me hate mail.
Send hate mail.
I'm honestly looking forward to my break. I said it the other night. I've got nine days off over Christmas, and then I've got a week off without kids after that. So I cannot look forward to that any more than I possibly could. But as far as gaming goes, there's a whole heap of indies that I really want to play. I want to finish Hand of Fate 2. I want to play a heap more Damsel. As every second I get, I want to play some Damsel.
Oh, I've been playing that too. That's fucking good. I really like Damsel. It's a good game.
And I do want to go deeper into Epic Tavern because I think when I finished playing it the other Friday night, I was really starting to understand it and really starting to comprehend what I had to do to get better at that game. And then I turned
roll
the
better.
Dice better. I understood the whole. I wasn't quite understanding the process of what you took in, like the four different aspects.
Once
I got into that, I went, oh, okay, so I need, like, I was trying to balance the squad up a little bit more, and I really want to get back into that too. But Assassin's Creed Origins, I'm stuck playing that, and that's what I'm playing as far as my AAA goes before I get into Wolfenstein 2. And yeah, 2018, bring it on.
Good shit. Josh, what are you looking forward to, mate?
Lots of things, really.
No, you're not lying.
No, no, it's like I want to get into, I'd love to come over to Maddie's place again and play some more Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be a lot of fun. You know, and probably have a go of Epic Tavern as well. Talking to the another indie guys, you know, want to get in and play some Lost Castle, do the multiplayer side of that. But with all of that said, I will probably just end up spending all of my time with more Xenoblade and mm-hmm. just playing a lot more of that. We've had some good discussions with Whippy Whip and Demuji in the Discord today about bits and pieces of the game. We had some discussions. I'm probably going to get a little tips and tricks or a little tips article out this week for the game, because it is a JRPG and doesn't really tell you how to do anything. So it can be hard to...
Can you just name all these articles? Can you just call them Tips Out for the Boys, please?
Tips Out for the Boys. Yeah, all right. Tips Out for the Boys.
Yeah, cheers. Thank you.
That's what's going to be cool. Tips Out for the Boys. Xenoblade. So I'll probably do one of them and just put in everything that I've found and read and looked at, because I've done a fair bit of reading because I want to understand it more. So, yeah. And then Infinity War. Want to go see that.
Yeah. Yep. I've got 7 words for you, boys. 7 words.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon Shit. Ball FighterZ, Monster Hunter World.
When's the beta for Monster Hunter World?
This
starting?
Weekend.
Yeah, fuck, really?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yep. I'm not going to play it. I played it enough at PAX, and I know what I'm in for, and I just want to... Man, both those games are coming thick, they're coming fast, and I cannot fucking wait for both of them. Oh, my God. They're both early next year, and...
they're both almost the same day, aren't they?
Just about, yeah.
Oh, good luck. yeah, we've got to do a hype train episode on at least one of them. We've got more.
Probably both.
Yeah, we've got Monster Hunter in the works, so it'll definitely happen.
I'm going to play the shit out of Monster Hunter World. It's going to be the actual like Destiny 2. I'm going to spend lots of time in that game because it's going to be a long fucking game.
Have you confirmed PS4 is where you're going to be getting it? Because the PC's at launch, is it?
There won't be and plus my PC's a rotting sack of shit. I'm not going to be able to run it. So definitely PS4 for me. So
shout out to Stevie Jar. You need to have a PS4 if you want to play Monster Hunter with Perko.
No,
with the boys.
Stevie Jar, you just need a PS4. Just that. Just
yeah, he does.
PS4, man. For...
He's got the Switch apparently happening, and does McDad. So hopefully he can also get the PS4 swung around as well.
Nice. Let's do it. Closing it out, Wilco, where can we catch you, man?
Just quickly speaking about that, we're hopefully doing a Mario Kart series next year. So if you've got a Switch, let us know.
Cool.
Hit me up on Wilco's Chill Zone on Twitter if you're interested in that or anything else. You just want to have a chat, want to hear me cry about how tired I am or hear about all the cool latest indie games, follow my Twitch channel as well, because I'm playing a lot of indie games on there at the moment and Friday night with all these lads in chat just talking about shit for about 3 hours and while we play games. That's
good shit. Josh, where can we catch you?
Super Mega Josh on the Twitter and the Discord. You can catch me on the PlayStation as well. Give me a shout out. I am on the Switch, but the multiplayer on that is horrendous and I'm not downloading the app, so never mind that. But yeah, give me a shout out.
And if anyone's seen Joey, please let him know that we miss him.
Yeah.
I don't actually know if he's coming back, but we haven't seen him before.
Yeah, he is. I spoke to him today. and you can catch me, Super Mega Matthew, on the Discord and on Twitter. And you can catch all of us at our website, ultrasupermega.com.au. And have a beautiful week. We'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
Later.